Good afternoon, brethren. It's a real pleasure to be here with you all. And it's a nice bright day out, to say the least. A little bit warm, as we've already heard in it. But I want to get into this message today because there's a lot going on in the world that, as we heard from Mr. Shaby last week, it's reality. You know, it's what is happening out there. And we live in that world, and Christ said, we're not going to take you out of the world. We're going to let you live in that world, but live according to my word and my way of life, and not the way of this world. So I've been looking at a number of things, and I'm still in the corporate world, so I have a number of people that report to me, and so-called, in their way, Christians, and they believe a lot of, you might say, the better things, the good ones even, that have a Christian foundation and feel strong about what they believe in, yet whether their conduct sometimes is lacking considerably in terms of what they believe in, language, using God's name in vain, and of course not keeping the Sabbath, which we know is one of them. So what I want to address today is, are we obeying God's law and God's voice? Because it's so easy out there today to get caught up in the world and everything going on around us that we ignore or just forget or do what everybody else does. Take those commandments that we believe are convenient to keep, not the ones that we have to work at, like treating each other the proper way, loving one another, keeping the Sabbath, not breaking it. God's very specific about what he wants you to do when he says, keep my commandments, obey my voice. Of all people in the world, we've been called out, very few of us, and given an understanding and a way of life that's different that's out there in the world today. So when we think about that, we have to realize we've been set apart by God for our purpose. And we don't need to go back into Genesis 1:26, but he made us in his image. He and his son had a plan from the beginning. They were going to expand that family, totally lost to this world. They have no understanding of God's purpose. Why a person is born, and I'll get into that, is pretty frightening. What is some of the thinking in some very elite people in this world that are influencing the way we live and will live, and the outcome, which of course has been forecast by God long ago, of what the end's going to be like. So it's just about keeping what's convenient. Several months ago, we renewed the covenant we made with God and Jesus Christ, and we made an agreement to change our life and repent of our past sins and keep God's laws and his commandments. It's a big responsibility. But he said his son, Jesus Christ, volunteered to come and died for us and cleaned the slate for each and every one of us. We started off fresh. What a great way to do that. Here we are, we've accumulated all these different situations or experiences all our life, some may be not so proud of, and yet God came along and said, going to clean the slate, you got to do free. It's all been done. Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid the penalty for all our sins. And we renewed that, and we made a covenant with him at that time that we would obey him. We were baptized. We had hands laid on us, and we had God's Holy Spirit given to us, the power of God to be able to overcome anything. Now, it's a matter of whether you use that power or not of God. And that's another sermon you could talk about for ages in terms of God's power through his Holy Spirit, which sets us apart and gives us that opportunity to overcome. But are we caught up in our daily lives that we are not spending the time with God that we should? Are we keeping the Sabbath the way we should? Do we have other things influencing us during that day that should be dedicated to our relationship with God and one another that think the same way that we do? I mean, it's very easy. My phone rings a lot. Most of them know, don't call me on the Sabbath because I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to answer no matter what the crisis is. Forget it. It's not going to happen. And most of them are pretty good about that. But occasionally somebody will forget and they'll call. It's always easy when you're on a crisis situation, you're under stress, you got a lot on the line. It's awful easy to just pick up the phone and answer that. Oh, just take a minute. Won't take long. Now, don't be tempted by that, and it's awfully easy to do. The god of this world, Satan the devil, wants us all in here to fall and fail in that relationship we have with God and the travel to the kingdom of God. He has gone all out against God's people. I mean, all you have to do is look at the prayer list, and you realize that he is attacking God's church like never before. And there's so many sicknesses and problems with individuals. We're all going through a lot of stress right now, most of us in here. Got one thing or another. We need to pray for each other. We need to be there for each other. When God gave us the two great commandments, he said, love your neighbor. Well, you love your brother and your sister, as we heard in the sermonette, the instruction from Paul to Timothy. You know, it's interesting. He was studying Timothy. I've been studying Paul a lot lately, and I'm amazed. I was telling my wife last night, we were talking about a couple of things, and I said, you know, when you read Paul, or even David's Psalms, you read them and you try to inculcate them into your life and understand them. It's hard enough for me to understand what they're saying. These men were inspired by God to write them. And I'm amazed at some of the language that Paul uses to express certain conditions in John the same way. Been reading 1 John a lot. And in that 1 John, he talks about the commandments over and over again, loving one another, loving God's word, loving God's commandments, loving God. And on it goes that these men were inspired by God and writing information to pass on to each and every one of us down through the ages so that we may be able to overcome and make it into the kingdom of God. And it's amazing that what they have accomplished. Let's go to Ephesians 2, and I'm going to start with verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And he said, and you, he, Jesus Christ, made alive. He paid the price for our sins. He said, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all also conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. You know, one time we were no different. I mean, there's some in here that grew up in the church, but you still were out there influenced by a lot. There's a number of us came out of this world and we understood God for the first time and what his purpose was. But we walked in that way, and we're tempted every day to walk in that way. And that's something you have to fight all the time. You cannot give up or you'll be drugged under. We were under the constant influence of Satan and held captive by him. And if you're like me, you know, I didn't have any relationship with God before he called me. Now, I understood a little bit here and there, didn't have a Bible and whatever, and it was awfully easy to get caught up in this world. You know, by the world's standards, I wasn't a bad person or evil, but by God's standards, I had a lot of growth to do, a lot of things I had to overcome, a lot of changes that I had to make in my life. And that wasn't easy. Let's go to Revelation 12 and verse 9. It's just a reminder here that we all know this scripture well. Revelation 12 and verse 9, but let's read it. So the great dragon, Satan the devil, was cast out, that serpent of old called devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Very strong statement. This is Satan's world. Don't be fooled. I mean, it can be sugar-coated any way you want to. But there's no way of looking around it. This is Satan's world, and he's grabbing hold of it, and he's gaining strength each and every day. You wonder, when you look back in history, there was periods, but it seems like today, at this time, is building up even more. He is deceiving the whole world and leading everyone to destruction. And God has given us ample warning through his word, but man, generally, in the field out there in the world today, is rejecting God and his word. They're tearing up the Bible. Heard a famous commentator just the other day made a statement, what do you mean fake news? Like that's brand new. Fake news? Hey, the Bible's fake news. Been there around for centuries. Talking about the Bible being fake news. That's the way they're treating God's word. And we live in that environment going on out there where they're throwing up, they tear up the Bible, they tear out the pages. They don't want to hear God's word. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to know his commandments. They certainly don't want to obey his voice. And you read right there through the scriptures over and over again what God warned Israel, where the modern day Israel. You know, don't get caught up in this world. And it's easy to do. And that's what they're doing. There's ongoing discussions. I mean, Mr. Shaby brought up some things that I want to mention today because the reality we live in, I'm not trying to make it negative. I'm just trying to point out a few things. You don't have to dwell on it. But you have to live in the world and realize what's going out there so you can get on your knees and pray even harder and really be a light to this world. There aren't many. There are not many people out there. And children, you're the same way. I mean, little ones here, you can be a light to your fellow students, playmates. Don't think you're just, hey, I'm a little one. I don't have any influence. What can I do? Hey, by your conduct, the way you live your life, what your parents have taught you, what God's taught you, that's amazing. I didn't have that teaching when I was growing up. You know, my dad, you know, said, well, if you get in jail, just give me a call and I'll try to get you out. That's all the instruction I ever got. So, I mean, if you're getting taught by your parents, count your blessings, because there are many parents out there that don't even hardly address their children. So we can all be a light, and that's all of us at every age. But there's ongoing discussions between the United States and the World Health Order organization called the WHO. And a very powerful organization, gaining more power all the day. And this latest discussion is on a pandemic, which Mr. Shaby mentioned, which now seeks ratification by all 194 WHO member states. The zero draft grants the WHO the power. Now, mind you, this is the power they've been given by 194 nations to declare and manage a global pandemic emergency. Once a health emergency is declared, all signatories, including the United States, would submit to the authority of the WHO regarding treatments, government regulations such as lockdowns, vaccination mandates, global supply chains, and monitoring and surveillance of populations. And the only thing holding back the United States from signing that treaty right now, it has to have congressional approval, or else it would already been signed. Now, when I was in Geneva some years ago, I had an office there at one time, and I traveled sometime. One month they had a big World WHO convention there. Traveled with a lot of these people, and they do a lot of good things. But when they get together, that they want to control your nation, how you work, whether you go, whether you get a shot or not, and it'll be mandated because they're going to have population surveys. You don't have to worry about that because you've got God's protection. We just have to be aware of it and ask God to protect us as a family, as a church. Because every day we should be praying about our church that the word of God can continue to go out through the publications and the messages that are posted. Because there may be coming a time very shortly that will not happen. It will not be allowed. In certain areas, it's very restrictive. And certain things are already monitored where you can't say what you need to say. So we need to work within the time we have to do what we can. There's another organization, but this is the World Economic Forum, WEF. Something to watch and be aware of. Very powerful organization of elites that are trying to control the group founded over 50 years ago by a German economist, Klaus Schwab, has long called for a new paradigm of international governances, arguing that individual governments are no longer the dominant actors on the world stage. Where have we heard that before? The United States no more being a nation that has its own power. We submit to another group that's going to be over us, controlling everything we do. Worldwide dictatorship that's coming. Said to hear that Klaus Schwab confirms that he wants to track people's thoughts with brain chips. The WEF has described it as an ecosystem of an unprecedented number of sensors, including emotional sensors attached to, implanted within, or ingested in the human bodies to monitor, analyze, and modify human bodies and behavior. You know, this isn't a comic book thing. This is not science fiction. This is reality. This guy is a powerful leader over a world organization that's gaining more power each and every day. This is his thinking. You can't even hardly imagine somebody thinking along these lines. But he goes on, he says, we're going to, after the function of the human body, you're going to alter human bodies and behavior. The WEF are the same people, mind you, that are pushing the Great Reset, which you probably heard of, and the goal is to create a one-world government. No longer individual states or governments working together. It's going to be one-world government using transhumanism as the platform of the control of the human mind and body. You know, this sounds like I'm reading out of some journal, some comic book or something, but I'm not. This is reality. This is something we have to be aware of, pray about, live our life as Christians. We don't have to go around in fear. God said, I'll be with you always. So what I'm doing here is I want you to understand, just like me, I'm in the same position, my family. I'm concerned for them. That we are aware of what's going out there in this world so we can protect ourselves with God's word, His Holy Spirit. Because we know there's a better day coming. As Mr. Shavey said, that's the hope of the future. A new way of life, a new world that we'll be living in with God's government. Peaceful government, wonderful government. I know we thought for a long time this one world government using transhumanism, and that's amazing. This A1 thing is this, what do they call it, this intellectual intelligence that is scary. I mean, you start to listen about some of this stuff and you back away from it and say, I'm going to get my mind deeper in God's word. But the second in command of this group is a guy named Harari. He's Italian. He happens to be homosexual. He said, there is no purpose, this is a quote in an interview, no purpose for human beings. This is the guy's number two in a major organization in worldwide government. No purpose in the one world government, as we talked about 30 years ago in the church. It was taboo. Don't talk about world government because that's one world government. That's a conspiracy. Well, it's no conspiracy anymore, brethren. It's reality. It's going to happen. It is happening. People are buying into that right, left, and center. And we have to be understanding that. And then you see what's happening in the States. I mean, they've got this, people look at binary, what they call bitcoins and electronic money. You read and understand what's behind that. It's all control. They're going to know everything about you. Like, they could cut off your money overnight. No matter what you have in the bank account, it could be gone if you don't do what they want. So talk about control coming. So what is our strength? What do we have that nobody else really has? We have a relation with a powerful God, the alternate creator God, and his son, Jesus Christ. We stay then, maintain that relationship and closeness to one another, that we can count on our brotherhood and our relationship with one another. I mean, there's other things that we're talking about here, that satanic temple that's being built in Illinois State. It's already been built. It's called the Satanic Temple, titled Serpent of Genesis. And it has a 12-foot snake right in the capital of Illinois, New York City. They tore down Teddy Roosevelt's statue on one of the buildings and replaced it with a goddess of abortion. We got one temple being built in New Mexico dedicated to abortion, and they call it a satanic temple. You know, it's like you're really going back to biblical times. Somebody said, boy, biblical times must have been rough. Brethren, we're living in biblical times. It's happening right now. Is this another type or version of Moloch? You know, you read some of those scriptures back there where we're warned in Jeremiah and whatever, what God warned people about, the way they were deceived in thinking that offering their children as sacrifices, you can't even imagine that. But people did it, people who knew better, but still got sucked up into this whole thing. There's a new film that I haven't seen yet, but some of my colleagues have, called The Sound of Freedom. Pretty hard to get through. I've read reviews on it, whatever. But it talks about some of the things that are happening in this world, and it's not a pretty picture. And it's a documentary kind of film done by two Latino individuals, so they can't claim it's all white supremacy. But it's a very powerful thing, and it makes you think how sick this world really is. Pretty sick what's happening out there. And you wonder how people's minds get to that point where they can put people through that kind of a situation. And you just realize that that's Satan's mind. That's the way he thinks. Totally contrasting the way God thinks, the God of love. Satan is anything but love, brethren. And we need to realize that's the world we live in. But there's a great push right now, strong push, to censor all Christian teaching, anything to do with God. Satan worship is openly on the rise. They hate God. They hate his word. And at that time, these things are moving very rapidly, changing anything. We, as God's people, more than ever before, need to be studying and praying daily. You can't skip a day. You've got to have that continuous contact with God. That's your lifeline. If that's all I can get through today, is that's your lifeline. Your relationship with God and the way you deal with him on a daily basis, you need to communicate with him. You need to call out to him, I need your help. I'm living in a world that's going down the toilet very fast. Excuse my language, but that's the way it is. It's getting worse and worse all the time. We need to have God in our, we need God's relationship. And I'm talking about myself, because I get caught up this way too, because I might be giving a sermon today. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just like you. I battle that probably worse in terms of what I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis to overcome myself. Full-time job, believe me, and more. But do we really understand and know God's word, his commandments and his laws and statutes? You know, sometimes you think, yeah, I know what God's laws are and what his commandments are and this sort of thing. And it's, really? Do you know the nuances of them? Let's take a look at them. Let's go to Matthew 22, verse 34. This is Jesus Christ, Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus Christ, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, when you imagine, asked the question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Christ never hesitated. He came right back in verse 37. He said, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandments." And second, at verse 39, is like it, like the same. They come hand in hand. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." He made it very clear. God's a God of love. You love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, every being part. And you love one another. You love your neighbor. It's pretty hard to do sometimes, particularly when somebody offends you. And it's awful easy to get hurt on some things like that, but on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Paul's saying here, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God," or "God breathed" is one in translation. Can you imagine that? God breathing out his scriptures, his word, so powerful. "And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," the man and woman of God, child of God, "may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's a pretty powerful statement. You know, verse 17, that every person that God has called may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Going back to the old, as they say, the old scriptures here, but very powerful, still applicable today. You know, all scripture, old and new. Now, the Jews don't accept the new. Most Christians don't accept the old. We accept every word of God. All scripture is inspired, breathed by God. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. "This is the commandment, and these are the statutes and governments which the Lord your God has commanded to you to teach, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded you and your son or daughter, your grandson or granddaughter, in all the days of your life." And I'll stop there for a minute. He's talking about when you cross over. We're on a journey ourselves to the kingdom of God. So this is applicable to us today as it was to the Israelites being called out of Egypt and given these commandments that I command you and your sons. I mean, it's generational. We have a responsibility as grandparents, as fathers and mothers, to teach our children and start when they're young and raise them up in the world of God, not the world that we live in today. Let's go on from there. "All the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel," or Church of God, "and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." How about the kingdom of God? The vision, the focus. Our whole focus should be on the kingdom of God. Nothing gets in your way. Nothing's more important. Not a house, not anything. Focus on the kingdom of God and that relationship you have with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's the most powerful thing you can. It's the promise of eternal life that God has given us. He promised us. It's in writing. It's in his word. He said, I'm promising you eternal life. And we can read history about Ponce de Leon and various other explorers, conquistadors, that were looking for the fountain of youth. Well, God's got the fountain of youth. He's promised you eternal life. That's amazing. No way I have to go find a pool of water to work it for you. You know, God said, you just keep my word my way. Let's go to Exodus 28. I'm going to go through some of the blessings here. I'm going to comment on them as we go through it. Exodus 28, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently, not half-heartedly, if you diligently obey the voice of your Lord, your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, and the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. Not happening anymore. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. It's the word of God written out here, Exodus 28, 1. And he just lays it all out for us. All you have to do is do this. Not so easy, but if you did it, just think of the blessings I'm going to pour out on you. Like you ask your children sometimes, say, hey, Daddy and Mommy will take you to the park, the merry-go-round, if you do such and such. You obey them, you get this reward. God's got a great reward. Satan has rewards. He tempts us with all sorts of things that sound very nice. Pleasure to the mind, the lust of you have in your human nature comes to light. Satan is tempting us all the time. God's got a different temptation. He said, because you obey your Lord, you're going to have these blessings. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Well, our cities are shambles. Mass murders, crime, they're burning cities. It goes on and on. What's happening in the cities that should be blessed? Should be happy. I was watching the news the other night, and I just decided, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to watch the news for about an hour or so, see what happens. Fort Worth and Dallas, not even talking about other cities, this is a pretty peaceful area. Murder here, murder here, murder here, murder here, murder here. It went down the line. 3 people killed here, 2 people killed there. Over in Fort Worth on this street, drive-by, shot, fired out through the bedroom window. A 15-year-old girl shot and killed in her own bedroom by a drive-by shooter, just shooting up the neighborhood. So are we blessed in our cities? No. Verse 4, blessed shall we be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle. And they want to kill all our cattle. It's not environmentally safe anymore to have cattle. Cows? Pollution. Kill all the cattle. Get rid of them. And Gates has come up with an artificial meat made out of plastic. Yeah, they're selling it in stores right now. You have to be careful what you buy. They've already introduced it into our food supply. It's amazing. Fake. You read this stuff and it thinks you must be reading out of a comic book or something here. This can't be reality. This is not really the world we live in. Surely not. Blessed shall be the basket and your kneading bowl. Well, food supply is getting really rocky. Verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in and come out. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. You realize the last war, quote, we had, World War II, since then, we have not won one single battle or war since. not in Korea, not in Vietnam, not in Iraq, not in Afghanistan, none of it. We ran, we were beaten, we were kicked out of those countries, left people behind. So, the blessings are coming to an end. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Give me an idea here. We had a client or a project. They needed a certain kind of generator. They were promised by GE, we'll supply it for you in 4 months. They not only called them up and said, no, we can't do it for 2 years before you get your generator. We're shipping them all by government command to Puerto Rico. Now, I don't have a problem with that. Puerto Rico are people, they need these too. They're rebuilding their entire electrical system right through Puerto Rico. But every single GE generator of a certain kind had been shipped over there, and no supplies are available in the United States. Now, you can find other supplies. We took 3-4 days to find other generators that could be used for the project. Wasn't easy. That's the thing you find out people don't know. All GE appliances, not owned by GE. Since 2054, they can use GE's name, but produced by China. Every GE appliance, refrigerators, you name it, it's all been done. We wonder, you know, they don't have to fire a shot. They're just going to conquer the nation. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if, big word, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Well, it goes on to example that will be shown to the world, and we can see that deteriorating very rapidly when he said, then of all people, the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Not anymore. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, and the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your land, which the Lord swore to you fathers to give you. The Lord opened to you his good treasure in the heavens, to give the rain to your land in due season, and to bless all the works of your hand. You shall lend. Listen to this one. This is God's word here. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow money from any nation. And what have we done? We owe China virtually the whole nation. If they ever called that debt in, we'd be done overnight. So we borrowed from China, quote, not our best friend right now. No reflection on individuals and all that sort of thing. But verse 13, and the Lord will make you the head, not the tail, and you shall be above all the only and not be beneath. You will heed the commandments of your Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right, to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now the gods can be, they're not just necessary idols, ego. I deal with that all the time. Man, terrible sometimes. So we saw in Matthew 22, verse 34 through 40, the two great commandments of the Lord. Now let's break down God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, and read those. Because sometimes, you know, you get caught up in the world and you say, oh yeah, I know the Ten Commandments. What's it say? Honor your father and your mother or something like that, I think it was. Let's go to Exodus 20 and verse 2. Let's read Exodus 20 and verse 2, because this is not happening anymore. The few people that are doing it, like people in this room, different church areas around the world right now, keeping God's commandments. He says here, I am the Lord your God. You brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of this world. I brought you out of this world. I brought you out of sin. I paid the penalty. I mean, I sent my son Jesus Christ down, who was innocent, perfect in all ways. He paid the penalty for your sin, your way of life, not his. You shall have no other gods before you. How about pride? How about ego? Those are gods. You're full of pride and full of ego. You're worshiping the God. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness of anything that is heaven above or that in the earth beneath, of that of the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations to those who hate me, but showing mercy and showing love to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Then he goes on and says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless, not hold him guiltless, who takes his name in vain. And I kid you not, sometimes if I'm in a certain place where I've got my cell phone with me, and I got a call from some of my associates, I apologize to my wife because some of the language that comes across that phone are anything but pleasant. And these are so-called very strong Christian men. One of them I know very well belongs to this big church in Frisco, that their orchestra is virtually the orchestra of the city of Dallas. I mean, they're big, they're huge. But, I mean, nothing to him. He doesn't think about it. He believes in God, prays for me every day. But then you listen to what he says verbally, not too pleasant. Then the big kicker, one that really gets this whole world, that Satan has turned upside down the worship of God himself. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Eternal, your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Wow. That's a commandment. That's the most powerful commandment that God has. Set aside a day to worship him, to love him. In Europe, they've even changed it because they knew the seventh day. I sat in meetings in sidewalk cafes in Geneva, Switzerland, and talked to them about the Sabbath day. They said, oh yeah, that's Saturday, but the Pope changed it to Sunday. Totally, Satan confused this whole world. They even changed the seventh day to Sunday in Europe. Hadn't done that yet here. But don't be surprised if it wouldn't happen someday. But if we're talking about repentance, can you imagine a minister in one of the big churches here in Dallas getting up and saying, brethren, I got news for you. Next Sunday, we're not going to be meeting. We're going to meet on God's real Sabbath, the seventh day. Read the book. Remember the Sabbath day. Saturday, no more work. We're going to go to church. I wonder how many people would show up the next day, next Sabbath. They'd be run into they'd probably lock him up, think he's lost his mind. So when you're talking about a nation repenting and keeping God's law and obeying his law, this is a big one. This has got to happen. What if it doesn't happen? Well, go on from there. Let's go on to the others, because now we get into the second commandment. Love your neighbors. Honor your father and your mother, and the days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. Of course, mass murders, I mean, unbelievable. Right here in Plano. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. I mean, that's been thrown out the window so long ago, people don't even remember this. If they did, it wouldn't happen. Now, it sounds crazy. Here I am up here talking to an adult, people have been around for donkey's years in the Church of God, and we're talking about the Ten Commandments of God. Well, if the world can forget them, we can certainly find ourselves slipping up. When God says to keep my commandments diligently, are we keeping them diligently? It's a good question. I ask myself that question all the time. Let's go to Matthew 5 and verse 17. Matthew 5. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. And they say, oh yeah, law was done away with when Christ was hung on the cross. Bam, that's it. Once saved, always saved. Hey, I can, whatever. I've been saved. I can go sin anytime I want to because I've been saved. And that's the thinking that prevails through a lot of people's mind. They are so deceived to realize that they're walking down death's doornail. They're going to die in sin, period. Do not think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot tittle shall by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Or kingdom of God. Then he goes on, but the blessing is, but whoever does teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of God. There's a reward. You live God's word. You pass them on to your children, your grandchildren. This is God's word. This is the way you live your life. To have blessings, to be fulfilled, to really enjoy life. Let's go to John 7, verse 19. Christ had just one line here. Christ talking to the religious leaders of that time. These are the men that should know better. He says to them, did not Moses give you the law? Now, if it had been done away with, why would he make this statement? But he says, did Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keep the law. Wow. How about today? We could probably have 50 ministers from the world in this room asking that question. Did not God give you the Ten Commandments? Did it say to keep the Sabbath holy? What about you 50 men? Do you keep the Sabbath holy? Are you doing God's will? Are you obeying his voice? Don't think so. And Christ went on and said, why do you seek to kill me? Well, his words were hard to accept. But all through Scripture, I'm just going to read a couple up here. He warns his people. God always warns his people. He always gives them an opportunity to repent. You can read from cover to cover God's word. He always gives them, even in the last times, during the tribulation, there are things that will happen even when he's pouring out the vials on the people of the earth that are fully evil. He gives them a warning. He gives them time to repent. Let's go to Jeremiah 3, verse 13. I'll just go over these with you. Jeremiah 3, verse 13. only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your claims to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Eternal. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. It's a promise. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Seems so simple, doesn't it? It's the word of God here. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Wow. Jeremiah 9, verse 13. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice and not walked according to it, he goes on to say, I will scatter them, and I will bring the sword after them. Well, I would like the other way. I would like to walk with God in a peaceful way. I don't want any sword going after me. God dealt with Israel, and he'll deal with us either individually or as a nation. It will happen that way. John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, if they were done away with, why would he make a statement like this? And John, being the last apostle, come up and say, if you love me, Christ is saying, keep my commandments. Obey my voice. 1 John 2 and verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him. We know God. We know Jesus Christ. We know him, them, if we keep his commandments. And he says, I know him. He who says, I know him, and then comes along and says, does not keep his commandments, is a liar. That's very strong words. So who says, I know him, and does not keep the commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. In verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought him also to walk as he walked. Jesus Christ set the standard of the way we should conduct our lives and the way we should live our lives. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, and this is the love of God, that we walk according to his commandments. Over and over again, you read 1 John, 2 John, right through that three books there. John just pounds away at loving God, keeping his commandments, his way of life, teaching God's way. Over and over again, he emphasizes that considerably. But Christ set the standard, the way we should live our lives. I'm going to conclude now with a couple of scriptures, and I know there's a friend of mine sitting in this congregation that says, yep, here it comes. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I want you to think about these things. I want you to inculcate them in your life. Hang them on your fridge, whatever you need to do. to realize the hope that he was, Mr. Shabia was talking about last week, what God is telling us about, the focus, the vision that God has given his people, you and I that have been called out of this world now. He said, but you and me are a chosen generation, called out of this world at this particular time in this chaos going on, a royal priesthood, future. But that's our goal. That's our destiny. A holy nation. His own, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness, because, boy, that's where we were. At least I was. I was in total darkness. I didn't know anything about God's word. I mean, zero. Hard to believe, but I didn't. I grew up without a Bible. My folks never had a Bible in the house. It's the way I grew up. It goes on and says, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light when he opened up your mind to see the truth of God and what he has promised for you in the kingdom of God. You study that area and it's amazing what's coming in the future. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. We've been forgiven of our sins. I'm going to conclude in Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, by God's Holy Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. For you not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Those of us called and chosen now are the first fruits of God. Jesus Christ being the first of the first fruits. The first human being born into the family of God. That's our role. We're going to be born into the family of God. And whenever you read the scriptures, going all the way back to the beginning, the firstborn was privileged. They were set above anyone else according to God. The firstborn was so important to him, pointing to the time when we, as the firstborn of God, would be welcomed into the kingdom as part of the family of God. There will be no one else ever. They have the same calling or privilege that we have that are being called now. There will be billions, maybe millions, whatever, I don't know how many, that would be called in the second resurrection. But there's only one group that are the firstborn of God. And that's this group right here. You think about that. We are privileged. We are the firstborn of God. We are special. We are privileged. We just need to keep God's commandments and obey his voice. Simple statement. Very hard to do. But he says, keep them diligently.